We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Inside Mizzou Athletics, presented by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. Now, here's Matt Michaels and Brad Trenago.
And welcome in once again, another rousing edition of the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast presented by Shelter Insurance. I am Matt Michaels. Brad Trenago is on the other side of the desk, and we are here to tell you that this wonderful content is provided in part by our folks at Shelter Insurance. They bring you every single one of these podcasts, recently ranked highest in customer satisfaction among auto insurers in the Central Region 3 out of 4 years in a row, and number one in price by J.D. Power. Shelter Insurance, we're your shield, we're your shelter. That little J.D. Power statuette, that's an important thing.
It's a powerful thing, man.
Yeah, I mean, it just radiates insurance energy off of it.
J.D., just done. Shelter Insurance. Just done did it. Wait, that's too many letters. Ignore that part.
We'll work on the analogy. Okay. Hey, a win is a win is a win over the Mean Green of North Texas. So the football Tigers are looking to carry that momentum in against the team that beat the Alabama Crimson Tide last week. But we'll talk about that because I think there are ways through that.
Football got weird.
Yeah, football did get weird.
Football got real weird. In fact, it got even weirder than a weird year that Mizzou fans remember fondly, and we'll talk more about that coming up, too.
I don't know if it's weirder than that, though. I thought this was a chaos season.
By one metric, it has. I'll tell you about it. I got a little nugget for you.
This guy did the math. We also got a chance recently to catch up with a couple of people who had their passports stamped and their weird milk drank off the plane, which you'll hear about shortly. Rocky Elam and Keegan O'Toole are a couple of Mizzou Tiger-style wrestlers for Brian Smith and company, and they went to the Junior World Championships in Russia just in the late summer time period, and they brought home World Championships, which is, you know, neat and all.
Yeah, it's really exciting, man. You've got these two. These are two of the younger guys that are in this program, which, of course, year in, year out, what Brian Smith has built here is really something. And now they're going back into the Big 12 for wrestling, yes, which is pretty interesting in its own right. And then these two guys being able to go to Russia, represent the United States, and be world champions. I mean, that's a pretty neat thing. And they're really good guys to talk to also.
Yeah, and we ask a little bit about the Big 12. But here, enjoy it. Brad has to make his 80s reference to start things off with our guest this week, Rocky Elam and Keegan O'Toole.
I would make a reference to a guy named Rocky doing well in Russia, but Rocky IV came out 15 years before you were born, Rocky. Have you seen it?
Yeah. I watched all the Rockies with all my cousins and my family when I was young. So that was pretty cool getting to live that out. I always dreamed of that kind of stuff when I was young. Obviously, I didn't know it would be, you know, on the world stage when I was young or, you know, as soon as it has happened in my life, but it was really cool getting to live that out.
Were you chopping firewood and running up snowy mountains while you were training over there?
If it was winter, I would have been, but no, we were just it was warm, and we were just training in the facilities over there. So,
I add, one crazy thing is Rocky wrestled in the semis, the Russian, and his name was Ivan.
Oh, come on,
kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, his name was Ivan, which was extremely ironic, and that was really cool. I just added to the story, I guess.
So, Keegan, when you saw that and you saw Rocky v. Ivan, was that immediately like, okay, so if the American doesn't win here, we've got a lot of explaining to do when we come home?
Oh, yeah, it was sweet. Like, and I had no doubt in my mind that Rocky was going to win, so I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, it was pretty sweet, just like, what are the odds?
Yeah, it was cool.
Keegan, you did not just win. It was two major decisions and two falls, so a dominant road in a 74-kilogram tournament that included a former world champion. So what was working for you over there?
I wouldn't say those second two matches were dominant because I was down, and I had to come back and get a pin. But, you know, I just – the American style is like, you know, if you're getting out-wrestled, you just keep putting the pace on them. And that's something that I took to heart all summer when I was training, knowing that these guys overseas are really good technically, and I might not be able to beat them early in the match just with skill. But as long as you keep coming, you know, you keep attacking. And, I mean, that's what we preach here at Mizzou is, you know, we want to score points and we don't want to make things boring. And so that's exactly what I did. I just kept coming forward, and I feel like I'm relatively dangerous from any position. So once someone gets tired and makes one bad mistake, it can cost them the match. And I think that's what you saw in those two matches where I came back and got pins.
Keegan, you win the title and someone gives you an American flag to drape around your shoulders. What was that feeling like?
Man, it was just like anything I've ever dreamed of as a little kid. You know, I've watched so many Olympics since 2008, Henry Cejudo winning. You know, 2012, Jordan Burroughs, Yank Varner winning, and even all the world championships in between. And it was just like, man, I'm part of this club that I get to actually experience this. And it's something that I will never forget it for the rest of my life. But it was almost like so surreal that it was actually happening that I like almost forgot what happened just because it was so crazy.
You know, Keegan, you mentioned that you were down early in your matches, but freestyle wrestling at the international level has a little bit more of a chance to come back. If you all of a sudden start rolling, guys, you find yourself in a very good position. Maybe both of you can speak to this, Rocky first and then you, Keegan, about the differences between the folk style wrestling you do at Mizzou and the freestyle wrestling you do on the international stage.
Yeah, so there's a lot more similarities, I'd say, than there is differences. But the main difference, I'd say, is just the exposure of in the control aspect. So in folk style wrestling, the idea is to control your opponent. To get a takedown, you control your opponent. And then when you put him on his back, you control him. He's on his back, you get near fall. Whereas in freestyle, you expose his back no matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter if you're rolling through a guy, you're head pinching him, or whatever it is, you get 2 points for exposing his back. And then the two different positions, I guess, that are the most different are top-bottom. Whereas in freestyle, there's parterre where you can flatten out as a defensive wrestler, and then when you're on offense, you try to expose them. Whereas in folk style, top bottom is the idea from bottom is to get out and get 1 point for an escape, and the idea from top is to get a ride out and turn him to put him on his back.
Keegan, do you find it easier to wrestle folk style or freestyle, or do you just say, hey, when I'm on the mat, in the end, the goal's the same. I put a guy on his back and I get the pin.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course that. But I mean, wrestling's wrestling. Like, I guess I agree with Rocky. Freestyle and folk style, there's more similarities than differences. You know, there was times where, you know, back in November when a bunch of us went over to Nebraska and wrestled the freestyle tournament, you know, we were honestly training folk style that whole time. And, you know, we did freestyle for maybe like one day a week, like 3 weeks before. And, you know, we killed that tournament as a team. We had three champs and Rocky made the finals. So it was like, yes, they're different, but they translate very well. And, you know, wrestling is wrestling, and I'll do whatever. I just want to wrestle.
Mizzou Wrestling's junior world champions, Rocky Elam and Keegan O'Toole, joining us. They won their respective weight classes at the meet in Russia in August. Rocky, let's go back to your final at 92 kilograms. You needed a takedown in the final minute to beat an Iranian wrestler in that final. So let's go there to that final minute. What's going through your mind as you're trying to get him come out on top?
Yeah, I knew the situation. I knew he hadn't shot on me all match, so I was out wrestling him the whole match. And I knew, like, the Iranians and the Russians, you know, they get tired. So I was really trying to keep hand fighting hard and just look for one good opportunity, because I knew that's all I needed. As soon as I got one good opportunity to get on his legs, I knew I could finish. So was really just hand fighting hard for about a minute, because I think I was down with about 2 minutes left. And I finally got to a shot with about 50 seconds left. So for about that whole minute 10, I was really just hand fighting hard, you know, getting him off balance, snapping his head, snapping his arms, and setting him for my shot. And then as soon as I got to that leg, I hit a really nice set to a shot. Took me about 30 to 40 seconds to get the finish, but I just kept grinding through the finish. And I'm thankful that the ref didn't stand us up, which I don't really see how he could, because we were just constantly moving in that whole sequence.
Now, we've talked so much about what you guys did on the mat, and great achievement and congratulations to both of you. But maybe the most important question is, when you go to Russia, what are they feeding you at the World Championships? Is it just like chicken breast and green beans like you get in the States, or do you have to like have borscht for every meal or something?
It was pretty good. I mean, the one thing that was strange was when we first got to the airport at like 1 a.m., they greeted us with like just Russian tradition, like custom things, and they gave us like horse milk and some weird pastry, and the horse milk was just not good. Like, it was sour, it was bad,
terrible.
But I mean, we had to be respectful, so we had to try it. But we ate at our hotel, and you know, the food there was relatively good, I'd say, but it was just like, we didn't really know what it was. You're like, all right, this is a meat, it looks like beef, this looks like rice. You know, there was obviously food that you could just tell you knew what it was. But weird thing was, it's like they didn't chill anything. Like, they didn't, water wasn't cold, milk wasn't cold. Like, everything was room temperature or warm, which kind of threw me off. Like, I made myself a bowl of cereal and I poured the milk and like I took a bite. I'm like, the cereal's, or this milk is literally warm. It's kind of gross. But
yeah,
overall, the food, I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, it got pretty repetitive, but it was good. I mean, it was good the whole time. They accommodated us well. And then me and my dad also went out to some restaurants here and there. So that kind of even split things up. So it was good. They accommodated us well. So
if you need to cut weight, you guys can go to the horse milk, right? Is that the plan now?
Yeah. Probably throw up right after.
We're talking with Rocky Elam and Keegan O'Toole, junior world champions, and of course Mizzou wrestlers as well. Keegan, you made a bet with assistant Kendrick Maple that if you won the junior worlds, he had to compete in the U.S. Open next April. Is the former national champion going to pay off that bet?
Oh, he better. I'm pretty sure he's a man of his word, so he'll do it.
Yeah.
And especially like after I won my finals match, I went up to him and like I was all pumped up. You know, I wanted to give him a hug, but I looked at him and I was like, you ready to lace your shoes up now? He was like, hell yeah, or something like that. So
are you going to be watching? You know,
he'll do it.
Are you going to be watching him in the room now to make sure he's not cutting corners in his training?
You know, he's a coach, so I can't really tell him whether he should or shouldn't be doing that. But, you know, he's so freaking good that he could probably train like a month before and still do really good. So
a little more serious note. Yeah. How did Coach Maple help you adjust to college life last year during that strange pandemic season?
Oh man, it was brutal. Like, there were times, you know, I was missing home a lot. At one point I didn't even really want to wrestle just because, you know, we were kind of stuck in our houses. we were like discouraged to go out and meet people. You know, classes were online, so I'm stuck in my room and just with my roommates and the guys on the team. And, you know, I love them, but at the same time, like, I need, there's mental health is a real thing, like, during that. And I never really experienced that in my life. You know, I've always been a very, very happy person. But, you know, he saw that I wasn't doing too well. And, you know, he just kind of was like, all right, talk to me. Like, you know, whether that's just sitting down after practice or maybe going to get a smoothie or something. And it really helped me a lot adjust to getting over that, but just getting adjusted to living here. And because it's not like where I could drive a couple hours. You know, where Rocky lives in KC, it's only you could drive home for a weekend. You know, I'm like 7 hours away. So my ability to, you know, go see my family is not as easy as maybe some others, but, you know, I adjusted well. You know, I have great people around me. So once I realized that, and once I was in the middle of wrestling season, I was all on board.
And, you know, this season has a little bit more normalcy to it. Last year had all sorts of events and changes, and there were COVID concerns, and hopefully a lot of that is behind us. Rocky, I wonder, as you head into the season, just the general feeling in your room about where the Mizzou wrestling team is this season and the opportunity that you have to kind of take another step forward with this group and put yourselves at the top of the podium again.
Yeah, so we got – obviously there's changes, COVID year being the biggest one. We got new guys in the room, me and Keegan and other guys are more experienced. So we bring new things to the table so we could share with everybody. And just the fact that hopefully everything gets rolling as it should be and we're all healthy, then I think we could win a national title this year. So I'm looking forward to it.
You know, as you look at that as the ultimate goal, and Coach Smith has always said, you know, that's what we aspire to. We want to be at the top of the country. We want to be at the top of our conference. And now that's a different conference for you guys. It's finally back into the Big 12, which I know a bunch of fans are excited for. How are you guys feeling about it? The opportunities to go in, and you already wrestled, say, the Oklahoma States of the world and the Iowa States of the world, but now there's more on the line when you do that.
Yeah. So, like you said, we had duels with Iowa State and Oklahoma State years before we were in the Big 12. And I feel like those are some of the toughest schools in the division, but I think obviously the Big 12 is tougher than the MAC. So that's what I'm looking forward to, is that competition aspect. I think we're going to be much more prepared for nationals. I actually wrestled a Big 12 guy in the first round of my NCAAs this past year. And I think just seeing him in the regular season, it would have been a little bit different at the NCAA tournament. But so that's kind of what I'm excited for, is that competition and preparation aspect for the NCAAs.
I think for a lot of more casual Mizzou wrestling fans, the first name that pops into their head, at least in recent vintage, is Jaden Cox. And Jaden Cox, of course, an Olympic bronze medalist, a multi-time national champion. He did not win a junior world title, though, so you guys got him beat there. So Keegan, are you going to bring that up to Jaden the next time you see him?
Heck no. Man, that dude would beat the crap out of me with one arm.
You gotta stand up for yourself, man. You could, I don't know, you're working out a little bit, right? I mean, I guess he is in a little, slightly bigger weight class, right?
I mean, regardless of that, he's just insane. Like, he's so freaking good. Like, I could stand up to him all I want. I probably couldn't even score a takedown on him.
You know, how neat is it for you guys to see someone like Jaden obviously compete at an international stage, but even the guys who are, you know, former Mizzou products who are MMA guys, thinking of Tyron Woodley and Michael Chandler and just the types of names that have come through your room, whatever they may be doing with their future careers, how do you guys draw inspiration on that when you go to work every day?
Yeah, so I looked up to these guys when I was young. My whole childhood, my dad brought me down to Mizzou and just watched the duels. We'd come down for a few duels a year. We'd always go to the NCAAs and just watch them from home when we could. So growing up, I always knew these guys. And then my dad also brought them in for camps when I was young. So I got to learn firsthand from them and also watch them, obviously. But like when I was at the Olympic Training Center, I was training with Jaden for about 8 to 12 months when I was out there. So that was a life-changing experience for me, just being out there and getting to train with Jaden. Not only was he my partner, but he was a great mentor and even coach and friend to me. So and then getting to see him still continue to compete and perform is really special. So,
Rocky and Keegan, congratulations on your success back in August, and we're expecting some more coming up in the winter. Best of luck to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I just don't know, Brad, if the milk was intentionally sour. I mean, do the Russians do that to try to sabotage the Americans when they step off the? That was my main question after talking with Rocky and Keegan, who, as you now know, they're two great dudes and, you know, represent Missouri very well, and excited to see what comes of it this season for them.
Yeah, that was a really good question by you about the food and how they were able to overcome some cultural differences, I guess, at that point. But yeah, that is exciting. I appreciated Rocky being able to, and Keegan humoring me with the Rocky IV references when that movie, I believe they were negative like 13. They're 13 years old. They were like 13 years from being born when the fourth Rocky movie came out. But yeah, it's so cool. I mean, you've got those two guys as just a couple of the building blocks that are at that in that room right now with the recruiting classes that they have stacked up the last couple of years. And they were top 10 without them. And now you're adding on those guys. I mean, Mizzou really has a lot of potential this year to compete with the absolute tippy top in terms of wrestling.
Yeah, I know that. You can hear Coach Brian Smith on the Tiger Style Report. In fact, the most recent Tiger Style Report here on the podcast feed, you just scroll down and you find it, and you hear his thoughts coming into the season. But I always look forward to speaking with Brian, so we hope to have him on one of these Inside Mizzou Athletics podcasts on our version so we can ask him funny questions about, you know, Russian customs and cause an international incident.
Well, he's got one of his, like, his director of ops, I believe. I'm not sure his exact title, the guys that host the show.
So yeah, Matt Manley hosts the show, who I believe is director of ops for Coach Smith, if I'm not mistaken, and Bo Bayman, who you hear on the Mizzou Network broadcast, the webcasts of all the meets.
Yeah, they've got to be a little more careful because they're working with him directly. We're the ones who can get weird with some of the questions and pull some different stuff out of Brian Smith. So you get much more in-depth, of course, with what Matt and Bo are doing, but then you get the goofy stuff with us, which is really sort of our thing with all sports, including football.
And speaking of goofy and football, it has gone to a bit of a chaos season. So Brad ran some numbers, and we're going to play games with each other to illustrate how weird it is. And we'll talk Mizzou, Texas A&M after we all hear a word from our friends at Shelter Insurance.
A shield against the elements. Comfort in the midst of chaos. Shelter in the aftermath of destruction. For 75 years, Shelter Insurance has remained true to our promise to be there when you need us most. This is the heartbeat of our company, our why. And throughout our history, it has never wavered. Shelter Insurance. For your auto, home, and life, we're your shield. We're your shelter.
Mizzou Athletics and Veterans United Home Loans are proud to announce an enhanced Seats for Service campaign for the 2021 football season. We're turning Memorial Stadium into a true home for heroes. Did you serve? Veterans and service members can enter for a chance to win tickets to attend all remaining Mizzou football home games, including the Military Appreciation Game on November 13th versus South Carolina. Visit veteransunited.com/hero today and help cheer on the Tigers.
Back here on the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast, that's a really cool thing going on with Veterans United Home Loans, and the program has expanded now, which is why we highlighted it here on the podcast, to include every home game. It's not just for Military Appreciation Day. Now every day at Faro Field is Military Appreciation Day for the rest of the year.
Yeah, including the matchup on Saturday against Texas A&M. So the website is veteransunited.com/hero. If you know a veteran or you're a veteran yourself that wants to go to a Mizzou game, including the A&M game, I mean, the team that just beat Alabama is coming in. If you want to see it for free, Veterans United certainly, and those of us at Mizzou Athletics want to thank you for your service. So check that out. Again, veteransunited.com/hero. We've got 1,500 tickets total over the remaining Mizzou home games. Now, a lot of those will be during the Military Appreciation Game against South Carolina on November 13th, but we do have tickets available through that program for vets. So make sure to check that out. I had a chance, actually, VU, they had an event with Judah and the Lion. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Moderately, yes. That sounds like more your style.
It is, yeah. And I really enjoyed the band anyway. And they just had them for free, like on the lawn in one of their like 95 buildings that they have around Columbia. So that was free. It was sweet. They were also giving away like the coolest koozies. I still have it because it was awesome, and they were just giving it away. But it's one of those where like you don't just like, you know, your standard koozie. You just put your can of soda in there, and it's just whatever. It's like a magnet, and you like snap it on there. It's almost like one of those snap bracelets that you snap around your wrist.
Oh, but, well, that's going to play to your kind anyways. I mean, you're taken back to like age 13 right. with the snap bracelets.
Yeah, so instead of like snapping it around your wrist, which you could do, you snap it around your can of or bottle of root beer, and there it is. So that was really exciting also. So they've expanded this, you know, what they're doing in the community beyond really cool koozies and alternative bands, and now they're doing that with the Seats for Service campaign. So it's really worth checking out. Again, veteransunited.com/hero.
Yeah, search it online, Seats for Service. It's part of an expanded partnership between Mizzou Athletics and Veterans United Home Loans. I know the folks at Mizzou are so excited about it. We're excited about it because, again, every home game gets an opportunity to be another chance to honor those heroes, and that's for active service members and also for veterans. And you can sign up again at veteransunited.com/hero. Get all the information, get signed up, and get out to a Mizzou game.
Yeah, and ask them about the koozies. I don't know if they have any more of those, but they're real. They're seriously, man, it's a
put
thing.
Put that in the comment section. Yeah.
Can
get
I get a
cool
koozie?
Koozie, please?
Thanks for the tickets, but we're hearing about these koozies on the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast.
All right, so Mizzou plays against A&M on the gridiron this weekend. It is an early kickoff. It's one of those 11 a.m. kickoffs. A&M is coming off of a win over the Mighty. The Mighty have now fallen. Number one, Alabama has lost to an unranked team. A&M ranked number 21 in this latest AP poll because if you beat Alabama, they just automatically put you in. It doesn't matter what has happened.
I think
you
that's
could
fair.
You could be a winless team going in. If you beat Nick Saban, you get to go.
That's fair. I'm not going to lie. I'm okay with it. I feel like A&M should have been up there, even if they're, what, 4-2 at this point.
I mean, if you beat Alabama, yes. But otherwise, because here's my point. I've maintained this for an entire season. It's part of the reason why I said, let's just wait and see on Arkansas being a top 10 team. And then they've lost, bam, bam, 2 weeks in a row. We really need to check out and see what is going on under the hood of the A&M Aggies. And you think of it offensively, and they've had some struggles offensively. Defensively, been very sound. But they're going to have their second-string quarterback for the rest of the year be their starter in Zach Calzada, who was fantastic against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Just great. Out-of-body experience almost for the sophomore. Do you want me to pose the question of which quarterback that starts this game, presumably, Connor Bazelak or Zach Calzada, has the better overall numbers?
I've got a pretty good idea because that's what made it so crazy. And the term, I think, out-of-body experience is a great term for Calzada, who is the SEC's Offensive Player of the Week.
And deservedly so.
And deservedly so, as all Texas A&M fans totally expected going into the game. They didn't. But yeah, 285, three touchdowns, and one interception. He got hurt at one point late, comes back in to lead that game-winning field goal drive in the final moments. But at the same time, you look back, his first, you know, real reps in crunch time of a game were after the injury to the starter. He comes in the Colorado game, played the majority of that game, and led them to one touchdown drive against a not very good Buffalo's team this year. And then you look at, you know, the Arkansas game, like you mentioned, kind of wheezed through that, even against Mississippi State, not exactly known for its defense. They were only able to put up 22. And then so they play Arkansas, they get whomped, and they score 10. They play Mississippi State at home and only score 22. So that's 32 points total in those two games. And against Alabama, they score 41.
Yeah.
What a year, man.
It's a subset of hanging around. It's a subset of the year at large. If you want to dovetail this into how Mizzou performed against North Texas, early on, it looked like, okay, this is the renewed Tigers team. They did more things, I think, defensively to disrupt in the offensive backfield. They certainly got the takeaways, one of which in the second half leading directly to a touchdown for Mekhi Wingo, so congratulations to him. But overall, it seemed that what happened in the game was skewed, at least if you look at the final box score, by what occurred at the end, which were some blown coverages, some adjustments for North Texas. So I said at halftime of that game to you, Brad, let's see it happen for 60 minutes, and it didn't quite. Now Missouri's question is going to be, can they put together enough defense for 60 minutes against a quarterback who's still a sophomore, against an offense that has struggled? And oh, by the way, Zach Calzada, he has not yet played in a true road venue in his college career.
That's crazy.
He played at the home of the Denver Broncos against Colorado. He played at Jerry World against Arkansas. He's not yet been in an actual road environment, and this guy is the starting quarterback for Texas A&M. The Aggies ranked 21st. He just beat Alabama, right? So my point is there are opportunities, especially in a year that has been so topsy-turvy, and on any given Saturday, teams have been so evenly matched. There is an opportunity for Missouri to clean up enough of its defense and find some of its weaknesses and improve them this week and have a consistent performance from guys like Bazelak and Beatty and Chisholm and Parker Jr. Name your price on offense to be hanging around with A&M. And as we just were proven by the Aggies at Kyle Field, you hang around with anyone long enough, you'll have an opportunity to win the game.
Yeah, and I never did get around to answering your question, but I'll go with Bazelak, because we've seen, and the reason why is, yes, Calzada has the one game that will live on in infamy in College Station, Texas. He's got that in the can. No one will ever be able to take that away from him, and he was terrific. But it's just one game. And like you said, you look at, you know, more broadly what we've seen from him, and we haven't seen that consistent solid play like we've seen from Connor Bazelak. And I know that for Bazelak, I mean, you, besides, you know, maybe like the LSU game, especially last year, you don't have the overwhelming sexiness with the work of Connor Bazelak, but you do see steady, solid quarterback play at the SEC level from him. And I think, you know, some people might be having questions of, okay, can he get to that elite all SEC caliber level, and that's the question we're still waiting to see answered. But if you're looking at the broader body of work, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Bazelak is for now the guy. And like you said, that's incredible that Calzada hasn't played a true road game yet, but that's something we need to see. Mm-hmm. We need to see, well, two things. First of all, how do you perform in a true road environment? And also, what do you have for an encore? I mean, the hangover potential, it's got to be tremendous, and I would totally understand being completely hungover. We're recording this on a Tuesday morning. I wouldn't blame A&M fans if they are still hungover right now from Saturday night, because that was an incredible atmosphere and a special thing for that program. But can you do it again, you know, slightly less than a week later, because you've got the early kickoff, which could also play to Mizzou's favor?
Yeah, and again, there are other parts to the team than just the quarterback, but highlighting the fact that, hey, people are going to put it on the young man's shoulders when they beat Alabama, and rightfully so, that doesn't necessarily mean you get the same performance week in and week out. And for Missouri, in a way, you have to hope that it's a different performance, a more complete 60 minutes of performance. But when they meet on Saturday morning, anything can happen on Faurot Field. That's what this season is teaching us.
Sure, and you mentioned, you know, not just being the quarterback. So in terms of the SEC Weekly Awards, for example, you know, Calzada, as I mentioned, SEC Offensive Player of the Week. Tyree Johnson, co-defensive lineman of the week after registering two sacks. They made Bryce Young really uncomfortable for a good chunk of the game. You don't normally see an Alabama offensive line lose a battle in the trenches, and for a good chunk of that game, they were the weaker unit compared to Texas A&M's defensive line. So for a Mizzou offensive line that I don't think has been at its best the last couple of weeks, that might be the most important matchup in this game, is if Mizzou's offensive line can keep the A&M defensive line off the back of Bazelak and Beatty. And Devon Achane, the special teams player of the week, also a running back for them. Goodness gracious, that kickoff return, 96 yards for a TD. He's also an NCAA track and field championship qualifier in the 100 and the 200, and it showed on that return. All you need to know is that on that return, Achane made Alabama players look slow. It was crazy how fast that dude is. So you've got to be able to, you know, similar, it's like a Tyreek Hill-ish situation where you have got to do everything you can to contain him, because if it's an even foot race or a stride for stride situation, you're going to lose.
Yeah, it's a tough task. I mean, we don't even know the status necessarily when we record this Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast, presented by Shelter Insurance, of the status of Isaiah Spiller.
Who's the better running back?
Who's the feature back? And by the way, the top three players in terms of big, long scrimmage plays in the Southeastern Conference: Tyler Beatty, number one, 24 plays of 10 or more yards from scrimmage. Number two is Chris Rodriguez of Kentucky with 23. And tied for him with second is Spiller with 23 plays of 10 yards or more from scrimmage. So if that separates the wheat from the chaff in the SEC, Spiller's a really good one. But he took a spill and might have injured his tailbone late in the game against Alabama. Will he be ready to go and completely up to snuff for this one? We have yet to see. I think the matchup is more intriguing than people will try to make it sound before the two teams take the field. So I'm interested in seeing how it actually plays out on Saturday.
Yeah, and going back to Beatty, I want to make sure, because we ran through a lot of these stats, Mike Kelly did, during the broadcast. One of the many, you know, superlatives that Beatty is throwing out there, he had four different runs of 30 plus yards in a single game, and I believe that makes him the first Tiger to ever do that. Four different runs of 30 plus yards in a game. I mean, you think back, I mean, I believe Brad Smith has the all-time record in that category at Mizzou, and he's in the neighborhood of like 25 for a career. And Tyler Beatty did it four times in a game. So to have that big play capability there, I mean, and he showed some toughness. There was that one run that pops out where he was in the grasp of a North Texas player and just kept his legs moving. And he told Chris Trevino post game, "I just closed my eyes and kept moving, and all of a sudden I'm clear," and he just took off. But it showed a lot of toughness from Beatty. And again, that was late in the game, and we had all those questions about, would he have the durability to handle and heavy workload? And I think that run symbolizes the emphatic yes that Tyler Beatty has put out there. He's made himself clearly an NFL prospect. He's going to be playing on Sundays along with his former backfield mate Larry Roundtree next year. It's a great story, and he's having a terrific year.
So you, Brad, did some numbers on chaos season.
Yes,
2020. It's officially a chaos season in college football. I think I know where the number you are going to go to make your point goes, but I want you to present your information to the group.
Yeah, it's from your friend, and I believe he's a Mizzou alum as well, Bill Connolly. Or is he just does he have Mizzou ties? I don't know.
You know, I can't say I'm sure. I believe alum.
Believe alum. I just wandered in there. I probably should have checked beforehand. Anyway, so he pointed this out from ESPN stats and info. Alabama is the 40th ranked team to lose this year, which is, you only have 25 at a time. So it's pretty incredible that halfway through a year, we've already had 40 different teams with a number attached to their school name lose this year. That's the most through 6 weeks in the poll era. And that is just ahead of 2007, which was a year that worked out pretty well for Mizzou, got all the way up to number one for a little while, and one of the best teams in the history of the program. So it's been that kind of year where some weird stuff can happen.
Yeah, and why not? Coming off of a year in which everything was odd everywhere else, and you get a bunch of returning players, you can get the super COVID senior, whatever you want to call it. This is not entirely surprising to me.
Well, and you bring up an interesting point about the super COVID seniors coming back, because that could also help to, you know, that can be better for the middle class than the upper class, because a lot of the seniors in the upper classes are the ones that are getting drafted, whereas in the middle levels, those guys are maybe still working to improve their draft stock, more likely to have super seniors come back. That makes sense. You know, the pandemic was such a bizarre thing that you just didn't know how that was going to affect people. So the preseason top 25 was even more worthless than it usually is. And so all that is factored in. But yeah, it has been a strange one so far outside of Georgia.
Well, and you didn't wait a whole year just to come in and lose games, right? You didn't wait a whole year to have an opportunity, bring it back to A&M last week at home, to just roll over and die in the game. Mm-hmm. If somebody beats you, they beat you. But no team out there is going into a game this year already beaten, right? Mm-hmm. At least not amongst the Power 5 teams. And that even includes the teams that have struggled. I mean, Vanderbilt could be a team that is winless this season, but they're not, are they? They've gotten that job done a couple times.
Couple dubs.
Right? Nobody's gone all this way just to roll over and die in a game. And everybody has had extra time to prepare, which is why I think we're seeing chaos season this year, which is fine. I like that. I love chaos season for college football. Get some fresh blood in there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So do you want to play my game first or do you want to play your game?
No, I want to play your game.
Okay, my game is who's winning that division?
I'm glad you had like a fake studio audience ready to go.
It's the game where Matt Michaels guesses who's winning that division in college football.
Oh, this would be
Let's
great.
Start with my favorite, the Pac-12 North. Matt Michaels, who's winning that division?
You got to remind me who's in the Pac-12 North first.
That's not part of the rules.
Oh, that's terrible.
Name a Pac-12 North team.
Well, it's not Washington now. It's
nope.
not Wazoo.
It was supposed to be Washington.
It was supposed to be Washington. I mean, golly. For a while, I thought it could be Stanford with a...
They're in second.
With a Rockbridge football product as their running back out of Columbia, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Does it still have to be Oregon, though? I think it still has to be Oregon.
Same state. Oregon State is winning the Pac-12 North.
Who's winning it now? I thought you meant at the end of the season.
Oh, who's winning it now is Oregon State.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, that's fine. No, that's okay.
Should have clarified the name of the game.
Thanks,
All right.
Don.
Sorry
Thanks,
about
Don
that.
Morrow. All right.
Anyway, Oregon State followed by Stanford and Washington State. Those are the top three in the Pac-12 North. Their combined overall record right now. 10-8.
Yes, they're not.
Those
good.
Are the top three teams.
Okay, I think I got a handle on
them. In
the
a
game
Power
now.
Five division. All right, who's currently winning the Pac-12 South?
Arizona State?
Arizona State.
All right.
Very nice. Technically, they're 3-0. Utah is 2-0. So they're sort of whatever that is, a half game up if you go by that. So Utah is 2-0 in the Pac-12. They are 1-2 elsewhere. Not saying the Pac-12 is bad again, but just saying. ACC Atlantic. This one's really hard because you don't know who's in the Atlantic and who's in the Coastal.
No, nobody knows where any of these teams are. I can't remember who's in the Atlantic and the Coastal.
Okay, I'll tell you what. You guess just ACC. Who is, because I was going to do both divisions. Who's winning one of the ACC divisions?
Wake is winning one of the SEC
Wake Forest
ACC
is,
divisions.
Wake Forest is winning the ACC Atlantic.
And okay.
This is just weird. So they're 4-0. NC State is also undefeated, but they're 1-0. So there's this three-game gap in conference games played. This is usually Clemson's division. They're 2-1. Florida State, after being totally atrocious, 2-2 in the ACC.
Yay.
In the mix. Norvell in the mix. Who knows? All right, so who's winning the other division? I eliminated Wake, NC State, Clemson,
man,
and Florida State for you.
It's got to be something really goofy. It's not North Carolina after this week.
Nope, they are 2-3.
You already mentioned NC State. Is it Virginia Tech?
Virginia Tech is tied for first with Pitt.
Oh, yeah!
After the win, they did win at Tennessee, so they're not bad. Pitt and Virginia Tech are 1-0 in the ACC Coastal. Everyone else in that division has at least two conference losses already.
What great scheduling has gone on in that league.
They, even it out,
incredible.
Brad. Yeah, in the... North Carolina, 2-3 after they were a top 10 team, speaking of teams that lost it out. So, yeah, Va Tech beat North Carolina, I guess, right off the bat and hasn't played a conference. That's weird. Anyway, and this one you probably know. Who's winning the SEC West?
Das West? I actually have to give it a little bit of thought.
Right now, after Alabama lost, so it's a little trickier. Who's winning the SEC West?
After that has occurred, I can rule out who it isn't. It's not LSU. It's not...
Correct.
I guess it's Auburn.
Nope, it is still Alabama.
It's still Alabama.
It's Alabama outright. They are winning the division outright at 2-1. They're a half game up with the tiebreaker on Ole Miss. They're a half game up on Auburn. They're a half game up on Mississippi State. They're still a full game clear of A&M, which is 1-2 because,
so
again,
in other words, yeah,
they lost to Ole Miss and Mississippi State. A&M, Arkansas is 1-2, LSU. Technically last place in the SEC West at
why did
one
you have
two.
To bring despondency into the podcast?
What
you know, who's winning the West? Alabama just lost. It's still Alabama, and they're running away with it.
This has been Who's Winning That Division?
That was good.
Not bad.
I'm glad. Thank you for putting in the extra effort.
Well, it's what the it's just week. I was going through and I just had a thought, like, I don't even know who's winning these divisions, and I went and looked and I saw all that nonsense. I mean, yeah, in terms of the conference race, you've still got some that have only played like one conference game.
Mm-hmm.
But we are halfway through the season, guys, and we're looking at an ACC championship game, maybe, of Wake Forest and Pitt. I mean, we're not like 2 weeks in here. We're 6 weeks in.
Yeah, we're cruising that direction. Yeah. We're cruising for a real bruising here on the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast presented by Shelter Insurance. I actually had a version of this in my mind because I have it pulled up, and I don't really look at the AP poll that much. Once upon a time, I used to. I don't do it anymore. But this is a week in which fun things happen in the poll. So I will do my version for you, Brad.
Okay.
Just who's ranked higher. And mind you, this will include the receiving votes category because they do rank them in the bottom. They also rank
You're going to get me on the receiving votes.
So I won't give you records. I will just give you names. All right. Who's ranked higher? Arizona State or Brigham Young?
Oh, this is good because I believe BYU beat Arizona State early. Isn't that? I think that's right. And BYU just laid an egg against a Boise State team that I believe was sub 500. So BYU was rolling. I think BYU beat Arizona State before, but now Arizona State, as we just learned in our previous game. Oh, I guess Arizona State on the back door. Arizona State.
Arizona State is ranked 18 this week, and Brigham Young is ranked 19.
Yes.
They fell from 10 to 19 because they just never trailed in a game, and then all of a sudden Boise went in there and beat them pretty badly. So the Cougars, sorry, Cougs, it might be a different year for your playoff slash New Year's Six hopes. Yeah.
BYU beat Arizona, by the way, in Arizona. Okay. Oh, they did beat. They beat Arizona State, too. I apologize. They've run the state, but they're not ranked higher now.
Yeah, that's fun. Who's ranked higher, Florida or Texas A&M?
Oh, darn it. I think, because Florida has the two losses. Well, they both have two losses, yes. I guess, now. I'm going to stick with Florida.
Florida is at 20 and A&M's at 21.
Oof.
Coming into this week.
What a weird.
It's so odd.
See, yeah. In my head, it's so weird because if those two played right now, I think I would still think Florida.
I think Florida would be I think somebody on a boardwalk or a desert somewhere would say Florida's
a decisive favorite, right?
Yeah.
But A&M just beat Alabama. So I don't know. I mean, again, it's one of those weird years in college football.
Who's ranked higher, Coastal Carolina or Arkansas?
Oh. This smells like a trap. I'll go with who it should be. It should be Coastal.
Yeah, it is Coastal.
Okay, sweet.
They're still 6-0 at 15. Offensive efficiency off the charts for Coastal Carolina, by the way. And they're still only ranked 15th. A one-loss Notre Dame team, a one-loss Ole Miss team, both ranked immediately ahead of Coastal Carolina.
Boo.
I know.
Boo.
No fun havers. Who's ranked higher? Now, these are two unbeaten teams. Oklahoma State or Kentucky? Who's ranked higher?
See, this is one of those where, you know, I was talking about the preseason poll being even dumber than before. Well, Oklahoma State wasn't expected to be that good coming in either. You know, it's not like Oklahoma State's. I'll say Kentucky, but I don't feel good about it.
Kentucky is 11 and Oklahoma State is 12.
Boom, I'm on a roll, baby.
You have found your little groove here. All right, who's ranked higher? UTSA or Kansas State?
Roadrunners, baby.
Roadrunners are ranked higher than Kansas State. They received 22 votes in this week's AP poll.
Because they're undefeated. Now, they haven't. Yes. Their schedule, it was Illinois, I believe, that UTSA beat. So they really haven't. Even their Power 5 win is not pretty.
Kansas State has only three votes received. Who's ranked higher, UTSA or Baylor?
Oh. So Baylor has the one loss, but it's to Oklahoma State, so it's respectable. And they've got a little more name. I'm going to stick with UTSA, though.
You're just talking your way through this. Baylor actually is.
Ah,
higher.
Darn it. Finally got one wrong.
Dang it. UTSA or Pittsburgh?
Oh, my boys.
You mentioned Pitt.
The leaders in the ACC have to go back to my notes. Coastal for Pitt. The Roadrunners would be more fun. I'm going to stay. Meep.
Yeah, the Roadrunners.
Yes!
Come on. Pittsburgh is getting one vote. 1 point, one vote. They got one number 25 in this week's AP poll. They lead a division of a Power 5 conference.
Again, so that, and also, I was thinking, like, how can you put Pitt in there above everybody else, but it's like everybody's losing. So somebody has to get the votes. So I guess that's the reason.
Who's ranked higher, Clemson or San Diego State?
Hold on. Clemson's getting votes. I'm just mad that Clemson's getting votes. So on principle, I will go with, I believe, the undefeated Fighting Hoax, Brady Hoax, right?
I think that's who's over there. Yeah, they're ranked 24th.
Yes.
This week.
Good for them.
And the Ponies from SMU are ranked 23rd.
The Ponies, I believe, are the last team that can give Cincinnati a game, if I'm not mistaken. Cincinnati tries to get in the playoff, and I think it'd be a pretty cool story. I know that Cincinnati might, you know, there are certain scenarios where Cincinnati might be the barrier to two SEC teams making the playoff, and I know that'd be better for the league, but at the same time, I think Cincinnati would be a cool story, and the body of work from the last couple of years, the Bearcats deserve a shot if they go undefeated.
I do like the story better. The question is going to be, can the Big Ten hold on to this seemingly lofty perch they have right now, with Iowa in the place that they're at? Penn State only lost to Iowa, of course, and there's Ohio State. They're ranked sixth this week. If the Big Ten has only one one-loss team and a bunch of two-loss teams, is that going to be enough to usurp Alabama / Georgia, who we think are the ones who still remain the standard bearers for the league? That's the serious part of it. The unserious part is UTSA just runs the table and they get a bunch of credit, and they're in.
That'd be delightful for Conference USA to get some love before some of the other, like AAC and
it's
others.
It's a chaos season, baby.
It is a chaos season. That's true. Well, I'm just trying to think all the, you know, some of the teams, you know, the Big Ten, whoever the Big Ten champion is, assuming that Big Ten champion has one loss or less, is definitely going to be in there. In the SEC, I think that the champion is a virtual lock as long as it's not a two-loss team. But if Alabama goes in with one loss and Georgia comes in undefeated and Alabama beats Georgia, I mean, do you keep one of them out? And if so, which one? Would you kick Georgia all the way out of the playoff if they had a close loss to Alabama? I don't know. I know we were kind of joking about the Pac-12, but if Oregon wins out, they've got that win against Ohio State in the horseshoe in their back pocket.
That's a really good one.
So you can't, I mean, I don't know if you can just take Oregon out completely. I have a hard time. I mean, I know that the ACC technically, Wake Forest is undefeated and all that. I have a hard time envisioning the ACC champion having less than two losses. Mm-hmm. Maybe just me, but so I'd be shocked if the ACC has a playoff team this year. And of course, in the Big 12, you still got Oklahoma and Oklahoma State undefeated. If one of them runs through unbeaten, I would think obviously that team would get in, but it's not like Oklahoma looks like Oklahoma has looked in previous years. They look extremely vulnerable, including that crazy game against Texas. Oklahoma State's still in there and undefeated. You may have to beat your rival twice to get to a Big 12 championship game. Get to the playoff through the Big 12 championship game. So I don't know, man. There's a lot to sort out here. It's a lot of fun.
And we're only halfway done. Mm-hmm. Only halfway. Oh, man. We're going to have some fun at the end of the college football season. And glad that you had some fun with us on the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast today. Brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Recently ranked highest in customer satisfaction among auto insurers in the Central Region 3 out of 4 years in a row. And number one in price by J.D. Power. Shelter Insurance. We're your shield. We're your shelter. And again, don't forget, all right? Tell that hero in your life, that service member or veteran, veteransunited.com/hero. Get yourself a sign up and get yourself a free ticket to a Mizzou home game going forward. Not just that military appreciation game. You can sign up and get yourself in for this weekend. Texas A&M, 11 a.m. kickoff. We'll have the Buckle Up Phone Down Tiger tailgate at 9 a.m. on the Central Bank Tiger Network. He's Brad Trinago. I'm Matt Michaels. Thanks to Rocky and Keegan for joining us on this week's podcast. We'll see you next time on the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast.
This has been Inside Mizzou Athletics with Matt Michaels and Brad Trinago. Brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Central Bank Tiger Network.